At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of McMillan and Morrow. I'm Dr. Sean McMillan. This is Rich Morrow, my co-host.
What up?
And we have a guest.
We do.
I love a guest. Introduce our guest, Rich.
So we got one of my good friends, y'all. You may recognize her, Miss Courtney Elise.
Hey, guys.
Woo! I got to clap around the mic so I don't hit it. But yeah, I don't even want to give her own introduction. I'm going to let her introduce herself.
What's up, y'all? It's Courtney Elise. I am a content creator, an actress, and an artist.
Triple threat.
Yes. As I said, you're beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and let me say this to you. I say that with no agenda. Women need to hear from men that they're beautiful without an agenda.
I agree. Yeah. That's very important. You two are very handsome. I'm loving the army green.
Thank you.
And this is by accident. We didn't even plan that.
I love that.
We be like that sometimes. We be on the same wavelength when we walk in here for some reason.
Okay, then
we walk out. You ain't no telling what's going to happen sometimes, but...
So, I don't know if you know much about the show, but what we do is we travel around the world through stories that are ultimately ridiculous, and we sort of just give our little 2 cents and opinions about them. Along the way, we find a little wisdom, and with you, I'm hoping we can find some humor.
Okay.
So Rich is our guide. So, Rich, tell me where we're going.
So, we're starting out in Mexico today, y'all. According to Fox News.
At least it's not Florida.
You know those beautiful Mayan pyramids they got out there? You ever seen the pyramids they got in Mexico?
In Mexico, yes.
Yeah, so they got pyramids out there, and apparently they're super sacred, and you're not allowed to touch them. Well, a tourist got mobbed after climbing one of the pyramids and putting it on video.
A white person?
You know it was a white person. They love doing stuff like that.
I'm like, that sounds like some white people mess.
You know they love getting into little things they ain't supposed to.
And it was a woman. It was a woman, too. Okay. And she was climbing it, and an angry crowd confronted her with booze, and they were throwing water at her.
I love the people.
And they were shouting, idiota.
But you know what? I heard, like, at certain temples, the reason why it's so sacred is because it's, like, certain spells and stuff.
Oh, that too, huh?
So if you touch it or go, like, that's why they don't like people, like, even climbing them or touching them or whatever, because it may be something where...
It's deeper than that.
Yeah, it's way deeper.
That's crazy. What you think, Doc?
Well, I hope whatever the spell was, it got on this woman. I hope her white ass has locusts in her refrigerator for 6 months.
It taught her ass a lesson.
Yeah.
We don't know for sure, though. We got to see. I wish we could pull up a picture of it.
Somebody's sacredness.
Yeah.
Because you want to get a nice photo.
Yeah, no. That's crazy, huh? That people feel like they can just do stuff like that. Now, we haven't confirmed if it's a white woman or not yet, so I don't want to just throw them under the bus.
Allegedly.
But it's allegedly, probably.
But I also feel like
she is white. I always confirm.
She's white.
People travel and they don't do their research.
On where they're
like,
going.
Yeah, and it's a lot of rules and regulations and things that you have to look into when you go to these other countries.
Yeah.
You can't just be doing
acting like you're an American.
Okay, like,
we do a lot.
We not at the zoo. Like, you trying to climb over the gate. Like, you can't just be doing stuff.
Yeah. Act like somebody raised you.
Right.
Exactly.
When we were kids, your mama would say, when you go over to people's house, don't you embarrass me.
And don't you touch nothing.
Leave it better than you found it. You know, it better be better than you found it.
People ain't got no home training.
They don't.
For sure. You know, and I think on a somewhat of a deeper level, they don't have respect for other people's traditions.
Yeah, that's true.
Agreed.
You know what I'm saying? The whole world is not Brooklyn. It ain't
exactly.
Atlanta. People think differently.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in Africa, I traveled extensively in Africa, right? So I'm used to black people, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I ain't, you know,
I'm black people everywhere.
I'm in the Gambia. Like they do black a little differently.
Yeah.
And so I had to go in and just be very respectful of how they do things, as opposed to walking in like I'm from Harlem. Mm-hmm. Pass the chips.
Yeah.
It don't work like that.
Yeah.
In fact, in some homes, you don't speak until the elder of the house speaks to you.
Yeah.
I think we ought to practice that.
So you don't want me to say nothing until I get your permission.
And sometimes you got to take your shoes off before you enter.
Facts. No,
for sure.
Like the Asian culture.
Out of common courtesy, though, you should always at least be aware of if that's something that they may care about, because you see people that just run in people. And this is figuratively and, you know, literally, people running into people's homes. Just
I don't play that. You better take your shoes off. I don't know where them shoes been. Okay.
Are you a shoes off person in your house?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I do not play that.
I take my shoes off, but I don't require other people to do.
Yeah. No. That's definitely a crazy little situation though out there in Mexico. I don't want to call it little, but who knows why they were so upset though? They could have been upset because of way bigger reasons, though. Their culture, they probably just don't tolerate stuff like that at all, neither.
Your white ass should not be climbing up on pyramids in other countries. And
the
people should be upset.
No, they should.
What I love about the story is the response of the people. You're not going to disrespect me in my house.
Right in front of me.
Like, I'm not going to do nothing about it.
Hello.
No, you better be glad I didn't whoop your tail.
Or you better be glad I ain't shoot your ass. Okay?
This is why we have courts.
This is America.
No, you're absolutely right. You put your life in danger when you traffic in disrespect. Yeah. And that's not just in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
That's in my house. That's anywhere. In your house. Mm-hmm. That's where we were raised.
Yeah.
I mean, at the very least, you ought to enter into every relationship, every moment respectfully.
Mm-hmm.
Asking people, is this cool? You know, what are your boundaries?
Yeah.
And when you don't do that, you tell people who you are before you open your mouth.
That's a word.
That's a word. I was going to say.
That is a wordless snap.
So let's get racial for a second. Hello, white people. You're God's children just like we are. But learn how to be respectful of other cultures.
Yes.
Learn how to respect other people's traditions and histories. And don't just assert yourself because you think you're the dominant whatever. You're
exactly.
not. There are more people of color on the planet than there are you. So the scriptures say, honor your mother and fathers.
Keep that animal in the safari, okay? Y'all be trying to tackle these crocodiles, jump on these lions' back, baby. You are in Mexico wait. At the pyramid.
Wait, Courtney. I want to know what you really thought about our episode with the naturalist.
What you think?
No, not the person, just the idea.
Yeah, the idea of people just being outside.
Outside.
Booty butt.
Because we did a whole episode about being outside. Tell the truth.
I'm cool with keeping my clothes on, okay? I'ma just say that. Yes. I'm cool with keeping some clothes on.
Yeah,
I'm
not about to be theirs on too, huh?
I'm not out here running around butt booty naked. Like absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not. Even in Africa though, they have their
they got something covering their stuff, but they're not in a civilized, you know.
Okay, first of all, let's just clean this up.
Yeah, Doug ain't gotta be.
Yeah, we gotta clean this up. In most Africa, they're wearing clothes we're
talking about. That's why I said uncivilized. Yeah, I mean,
Well, technically, I don't think there are a whole lot of uncivilized parts of Africa. But
agreed.
Just to be
agreed.
Clear.
Yeah, let's clean that up. Because
you're going to get it in the comments.
We don't need that.
We don't need that.
But the reason why I said Africa is because a lot of people. They kind of just jump and think that in Africa, some people in Africa are running around with but that's not even the case.
Yeah, no.
There's some people in America running around.
I seen a lady downtown with her top off.
Don't give a damn.
Yeah.
Right. And downtown LA is a lot less civilized
than
parts of Africa.
Downtown LA,
I did not mean that in any way. So,
it's a whole nother ball game.
Yeah, no, it's
so. Let me ask you this: what happened to the woman? Is she arrested?
So she
deported.
She was taken to the nearby town for questioning. So they brought her in, and I'm not sure if she was charged, but it's been banned since 2008. And the Congress of the United States or United Mexican States, established fines for it. So she probably had to pay a.
Was she an American?
Fine. It doesn't say.
Okay.
No, I'm not sure where she was from.
Well, listen, I hope she learned a lesson.
Yeah.
And
I hope so too.
I hope whatever magic or spell you get for touching.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
So I heard about this story actually a little while ago, and it's kind of wild. There was a man that was doing repairs on his boat, right? And a huge storm came and, you know, a bunch of winds and currents, and it swept him out to the point where he couldn't use his cell phone. He couldn't do nothing, and he's just out at sea on his boat. Well, this man ended up surviving for 24 days on just a bottle of ketchup, garlic powder, cubes of the Maggie brand soup and rainwater.
Yeah, that's wild.
Hold on. He survived in the water or
on the boat?
On the boat.
And he also scrawled the word help in English on the boat's hull so that, you know, planes and people that were coming by would be able to see that he needed help. And he couldn't do nothing but sit and wait, but he ended up using a mirror, they said, to flag down a passing plane. And the pilot noticed him, and they ended up rescuing him. How crazy is that? On ketchup. So check it out. The whole point of the story, though, is that soon after, Heinz, the ketchup manufacturer, they got wind of the story, and they ended up buying him a whole new boat.
That's dope.
I don't think I'd want another boat.
I think I need one.
After that, you done.
I'm done.
I'm taking the buddy.
I don't think I would want to have ketchup again.
Ever.
Definitely not ketchup.
24 days of just gulping ketchup down, I'm good.
It had to be. I wonder how much ketchup he actually ate. But that's crazy. Who would think that you could even survive on garlic powder and ketchup that long? Like,
and listen, you just said more than you think you did. You'd be surprised on what you can survive on if you have to.
Yeah.
And I ain't just talking about food. You'd be surprised at what a human being can use just to get through the mess.
Yeah.
Really?
You know, I mean, listen, I don't know a whole lot about your personal story. Mm-hmm. I know a little more about Rich's, and you know nothing about mine. But I guarantee you, none of us up here right now can deny the fact that we survived on scraps and leftovers, whether were emotional ones or broken fragments of our dreams or the support that we should have gotten that we didn't get, but we had to indirectly find it from somewhere else. Listen, I wasn't on a boat. I didn't use ketchup, but I know what it is to survive.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
definitely don't need a boat after that.
Listen.
So that brings me to a point, though. Do you think Heinz is kind of, you know, it feels almost like a publicity opportunity for them to just, you know, try to do something to be in the headlines. Do you think that they should have done something differently than offering him a boat? What do you think it would have been a more appropriate for them to offer him?
You asking me?
In light of that story. Yeah, well, I'm curious.
First, and tell me if you agree, it wasn't their fault.
Of course not.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on the boat.
But they're capitalizing on the tragedy.
Well.
Is it? Well, that's the question. Is this an opportunity? Because think about it. It's free publicity, of course. But at the same time, them going out of their way and feeling like they got to, you know, give them a boat or something, I feel like they should do something that's more meaningful.
What would you do?
Yeah, but
what would you do?
I'm not sure, but I feel like it should be more than just giving
them a
boat.
Why do you?
If you want to help.
Why do you do the language, use the language rather, should do?
They're not obligated. I don't think they're obligated to do anything.
They're not obligated to do anything
for this man. They have nothing to do with why he was out there.
You're right.
Their product helped him stay alive.
Saved his life, yeah.
And they're giving him something. They didn't even
have to give him anything. They could have just, he gave them publicity by even saying, hey, I survived off of
that
this.
Part.
Yeah.
So they didn't have to do anything. Yeah. I think it was a nice gesture.
I think so, too, because he has the option to sell the new boat if he wants.
That's but obviously he likes the sea life. Mm-hmm. He likes being out in the ocean. And I think it was a nice gesture. Yeah. Like, here's a new boat. Because
he left the boat when they picked him up. They rescued him. He didn't care about them bringing a boat, but he just left it out at sea. And I don't blame him, because I probably would have definitely never wanted to see that damn boat again.
I would not want to see another boat as long as
imagine coming outside every day and seeing it in the driveway. I'd be like, I hate that damn boat. I'm going to burn that boat.
And carve some stuff in the boat. Like,
yeah, no, that. It's a crazy story, though, and honestly, you know, it's one of them things.
But honestly, me being able to survive in a boat, I would have wanted to take it because it's a memory like, dang, I was out at sea 24 days, and this boat saved my life.
Yeah.
Like, I would want to keep it as a token. So.
It definitely is a crazy
No, but hold
story
on. That's such an excellent, remarkable point. Because I think what we often do is we leave the reminders we're going to need. We leave them. So here's what we do. We do two things. We either leave before we learn, or we leave without taking the things we should take. And that's your point. Is that when something's kept you alive, take some receipts.
Yeah.
So you remember that.
So that when you get weak and wounded, you can say, now, wait a minute now.
I survived that. This damn
boat. Agreed.
You know what I'm saying?
I think that people like to look at the negative or the tragedy in it, and they don't take out the positive. Like, this boat saved my life. Mm. This ketchup saved my life. This garlic powder saved my life. I'm holding on to these things.
For sure. Mm. And possibly trying to find a sponsorship.
Period.
Okay, Rich. What's going on with you? This is like the third time you tapped into capitalists
trying to get paid.
Courtney and I talking about deep existential things.
Look, and we ain't go through that for nothing. Look, you ain't need all that
YouTube
ketchup
channel.
For nothing. Look, I'm going to need some of that back. But no, on a serious note, though, I think y'all are 100% right.
So hold on one second. You know, let me ask all of us this question. You two first. Do you have something that you kept that reminds you of how strong you really are?
I do. I have that's kind of like a thing with me. When I have any type of experiences or memories, even with people, I keep things, like keep little things. So just so I can feel still connected to it. So when I was in my first play in Detroit, the director of the play wrote me a long letter, basically just feeding me positivity, telling me like where he sees me before I even moved to LA.
Yeah.
And I still have that letter. And then when I moved to LA, my first play here, same thing.
Yeah.
He wrote me a long letter like, you're going to be doing this and that and that.
Yeah.
And I kept that. So those are two things that I've kept.
And they keep you going when you
need
it.
Yeah, for sure. Good.
I love that. Mine is kind of similar. I keep all my call sheets from any job that I do. One, to be a reminder of like, all right, you know, we did that. But every one of them has such a story on it as well that I know one day I'll be able to look back on and see all of these things that I've done. And regardless of how it felt while I was going through it, I know when I look at those things, it serves as a reminder to me of where I started. Because I remember when I was excited about every last one of them call sheets. And if it didn't in that moment, I can't imagine they're not doing it, you know, anytime I look at it. So it does give me that feeling of going down memory lane. And at the end of the year, I'll look in this box and I'll see them. And sometimes I'll even keep some of the scripts, but it's too many of them to really, I ain't got space for all of that now. But I do that because, especially in, you know, the entertainment industry, you know, you need to have as many things that are going to keep you going as possible, because there's a lot of things that are going to give you reasons to stop. And I don't think it's just entertainment industry. I think that's life in general. But as many things as we have as serve as reminders to us as reasons why we should keep going, I think it's healthy for humans. Now, I think there's a limit that can be crossed when you're a hoarder, and I think I flirted with that at times too, but sentimental things of value that really mean something to you, I think that that's important as humans to hold on to.
And you want to know what's funny? Hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. Before I just want to tap on something you said really quickly. I feel like we as people, we can get so caught up in where we're going or why we're not at the place that we want to be. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have to just take a step back and sit in stillness and look at how far we came.
That's right.
And that was something that I really had to understand and learn. Like, you know, like 5 years ago, you wanted to be where you are today.
You was praying for this stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So acknowledge that and be thankful of that. Yeah.
No, I agree. It's focusing on how far you've come versus how far you have to go.
Exactly.
Or feel like you have to go.
And think about how much joy we deny ourselves when we don't do what you just said.
You're right. Mm-hmm.
When you're constantly projecting, I'm not this, I'm not that, I don't have that. All three of us can say this. When you just look back and realize, you know how far I had to come?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I literally came from a garbage can to be on TV.
And now you're right.
Come on. You from Cleveland, which I won't equate to a garbage can.
I should have saw that coming.
I'm just saying.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm glad that you're not equating it to a garbage can.
But that's how you create your own joy.
Yeah.
That's if you want to feel good about yourself, just sit down and be honest about where you really come from.
Mm-hmm. And that's a tactic to wield what we were talking about in another episode, that magic that we all are capable of conjuring for our own happiness and things that make us feel our best selves. We got to find all the ways to do that. You know, nobody really sits around teaching those things, I feel like.
Yeah.
Those are things we usually pick up on and learn along the way from one experience or place or person or another. And
so let me tell you a story. Because I think it requires that we be honest about where we come from.
Always.
So here's what you don't know about me. You would not know this. We just met. I stuttered severely.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Until the 7th grade.
Okay.
Now, you listen to me now, you would never know that. I get paid to run my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Both here, y'all should pay me more. And, you know, I make speeches around the country
around
and
the world.
But that ain't where I come from.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when I get wounded and weak, I have to remind evil, I'm not just the adult that whoops you on television. I'm that kid that used to stutter in the 5th grade.
Mm.
I love that because you are a walking reminder and you have the opportunity to share that testimony with anybody that you feel you want to share it with.
Yeah, but it goes back to what Courtney's saying, is that we throw away parts of our story because they don't make us either look good or feel good or part of the projection we want people to think. And your point, which is why I valued it so much, is that no, you put a little bit of the truth in your pocket because it's going to remind you when you get to the next mountain, I've already climbed
a bunch of mountains.
Stuff bigger than this.
Yeah.
So let's get it.
Like, Negro, you don't call me back? That nigga gonna break me.
Yeah.
Like, you don't call me back? I'm okay.
Exactly.
I had to be homeless.
Yeah.
You won't call me back? That ain't stopping me.
Man.
Anyway.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
We're gonna go back to Pennsylvania. Okay, so this is an interesting one. I can't wait to hear y'all take. According to 69 News, an Allentown couple are discussing forgiveness now after decades after the wife of the couple hired a hitman to kill the husband. Do you think that you could forgive somebody? let alone be talking about remarrying or becoming a couple again after somebody's actually gone to the length of hiring a hitman to kill you. Not just tried to kill you yourself. They hired somebody. I mean, this was a real premeditated.
You see our faces? Both of our faces are giving classic energy.
Look, white people.
Married 57 years. 57 years of marriage.
Honestly, for me, it's like, absolutely not. You were trying to kill me?
Because he stepped out on his wife. They have four kids. I'm going to give you some context.
Okay, yeah.
They have four kids.
Okay.
He strayed away from the marriage and his wife found out. Her response? She hired a teenage hitman to help her try and kill her husband.
So you
wait. Okay. Five times.
She hired him he slept? He cheated
five times? It says she hired a teenage hitman to help her try to kill her husband five times, including failed attempts to blow up his car and attack him with a baseball bat.
Oh, so they kept trying.
So five different attempts to kill him.
Oh, wow.
So she was serious about killing him. She's terrible at it, but she definitely tried.
So that's sick.
You want to hear something else crazy, though, about this story? So one night, she even put a bottle of sleeping pills in his food, and then the hitman shot him in the head and the chest, and he lived.
Oh, my
I'm
goodness.
I'm like, this is unforgivable stuff. And yeah, they talk about being back together.
Yeah,
so listen, because of the pills, his system was slowed down, and he was in a daze and said he didn't feel a thing. So believing his wife when she told him that he had the flu, 5 days, police found him, arrested the wife and the hitman. It's crazy.
This is a wild story.
And he only spent 12 days in the hospital after that.
And this is in Pennsylvania?
This is real. Yes, this is in Pennsylvania. And the first thing he did when he got out on bail...
Let's go back to her.
He bailed out his wife. When he got discharged from the hospital, was bailed out his wife.
Okay, no, there's something wrong.
You talk about toxic. They took toxic to a whole nother level. That's 57 years of toxic.
They're crazy in love.
No, that's beyond
toxic. I don't even know what
that
is.
What do you call that? That's a new word.
And let me be clear, that's not love.
That's obsession. Love. That's control.
It's addiction.
That's manipulation. That's a lot of different things.
And it's... I mean,
they said,
hold on. Somebody tries to kill you five times.
And
you don't have enough self-respect to say to yourself, I would never want to be with someone who could do that to me.
Yeah.
And what it reveals is how you feel about yourself ultimately.
Yeah.
You don't feel worthy of somebody honoring your life. With the simple act of not trying to kill you.
That should be the bare minimum that somebody is honoring.
Act of not trying to kill you.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
That's sick.
No. And then let's see the development, okay?
Oh, wow.
So.
There's more?
Right.
Yeah, no. I'm just showing you where they at now, today. So they said they both, cry and they had this whole moment when she got out of jail and he bailed her out or whatever. And they said that it was a new beginning for their relationship, and to help them stay on track, they got.
Wait, is this Blueface and his girlfriend?
I'm screaming.
Because it sounds like them. I don't know her name. What's
it's
her name?
Not.
Yeah, I don't know her name. Yeah, it sounds like them.
It could be, but it's not. I'm old,
I don't follow these things. But
oh, man. But she spent 4 years in prison, and they talked on the phone every single day, and they wanted to share their story as an extreme example of how important communication is.
Well, at least she got prison time.
No.
Not enough. Five attempts at killing anybody, let alone your husband.
You were literally planning on killing.
You wanted him dead, and you just didn't make it happen.
Honestly, if someone was trying to kill me five times, I'm leaving the state. Like, I wouldn't even be in that state.
In Pennsylvania.
I'm under a whole nother name, a whole nother life.
Witness
protection.
Yeah,
absolutely not. What would you do?
What you think, Doc?
The last thing I would do, I tell you all the time, Rich, when I'm done with you,
I forget you were ever born.
Mm. I mean, I have the gift of moving on. And if you can try to kill me? Now, here's the interesting part of the story. Now, the guy's an idiot, but he proves that when you're not ready to die, you don't have to.
Yeah.
It wasn't his time.
Listen. It just proves to you how stubborn life can be.
Yeah.
Now, he's taken that ability that he has, and he's wasted it on someone. who actually hates his guts. And somewhere along the way, it got confused in both of their minds that disrespect, hatred, and violence is love.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Wow. It's definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And let's take it out of this story. How many friends do we all have who have the same problem?
Not to that extent, but still disrespected, violence, going through that, and they think it's love.
And if we're not arguing, I'm bored. If we don't have conflict, oh my God. How many people do we know who do, not to this extent, but have a similar pathology?
Who likes a little toxic love.
Yeah. They're like, this ain't fun unless we...
Like, why you not cussing me out? Why you not blowing up my phone? Why didn't you block me? Why you not popping up outside my window? Like,
it's like, you don't love me. It's like,
you
don't love,
this ain't real love.
You haven't keyed up my car.
You not fighting for me. Like, excuse me?
What are they calling it now? The soft girl era?
Oh, you know women. I'm in my soft girl era.
They're like, I'm done with all the crazy.
I'm done with the toxic.
They're done with all of that toxic stuff, and now they want to be loved healthily. It's like, so all your life up until now, you've been happy with, you know, people doing whatever.
Yeah.
But now you want to just claim
that. Now you want to be in your soft girl era? Like, girl, cut.
Crazy. Look, you're crazy.
Like, girl, bye.
You can't just wipe that off.
Right, because people don't change like that.
Not like that. Not just because you say you're in your soft girl era.
And even if you really mean it, people don't change like that.
It's not that easy.
You bring all of who you have been into everything that you're doing right now.
Yep.
And I think that.
That's a lot to unpack.
No, it is. But this is what we do to other people, is that we bring our craziness and our confusion, and then we impose it on other people, and then call it love. Mm. Can't you see I'm loving you? No, what you're doing is manipulating me.
Yep.
What you're doing is disrespecting me. What you're doing is lying to me. Mm-hmm. But somewhere along the line, you learned
that was love.
That was love.
And I think that also goes back to like childhood trauma, because a lot of people watch their parents or their mom or their dad go through that, and they think that that's love. Mm-hmm. And now you're in a situation with someone who's acting like that, and it's like, this is not love. You need therapy.
Courtney, let me tell you how brilliant that is. Because it makes me want to say that for most of us, our parents' relationships, whatever they were, should not be the model.
At all.
Hold on, wait. I'll take a step further. Even if you never saw your parents fight and argue, that should still not be your model.
They're two completely different people.
No, wait. No, it's even more crazier than that. Because if you never see your parents argue, then you never learn how to still love someone you argue with. Mm. You never learn how to respond to conflict.
Yep.
And that'll mess you up.
You need to learn that,
because you'll have a fight with someone and you'll be like, oh my God, it's over.
Yeah.
No, it's not over.
Yeah. You want to run away.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because you've never even seen people healthily have dialogue and resolve disagreements.
Exactly.
Anybody I date, I always ask them, how do you handle conflict? Because I think that's very important. I dated someone, every time it was an issue, he would literally run or be like, oh, it's over. And it's like, what? We're arguing over a pencil. Like, what are you talking about? And it just made me feel like, okay, either you're not really in this relationship or you don't know how to handle conflict.
Right.
And that's very important when you're dealing with somebody.
That's something to develop.
And I wager to think that for a lot of people who are like that, it's because they never saw people deal with conflict in a healthy way.
Yeah, for sure.
Or they had parents, and that's what they would do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A fight, we run.
Mm-hmm.
Conflict, we run.
Yeah.
A truly healthy person knows how to argue with you, disagree with you, but they never hit below the belt.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They fight like they love you.
Exactly.
Yes.
They argue like they love you. Now they may be saying hard things, but they're not trying to destroy you.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's real.
Agreed.
Yeah, we need more healthy dialogue. But, you know, it is tough when you haven't seen it yourself, and that translates to a bunch of different things, I feel like, as people. But in that category, for sure, I think we need to focus more on having dialogue.
But you know what? I am thankful that in this generation, we have so many resources and so many outlets. nowadays you can get online and it's so many people talking about these things. There's so many podcasts. There's so many therapists and this and that where you can get this information. Back in the day, it wasn't on social media.
Yeah.
These people didn't know how to, they didn't know about gaslighting, or they didn't know about manipulation, or they didn't know about love bombing. Like, they didn't know about these things. But nowadays it's like, I'm so thankful that we're able to know and we can learn from that.
Yeah.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
So according to Local 12, there's a proven link between small penis size and sports cars, scientists are saying.
Oh, God.
Small penises in sports.
I need some more water.
So, yes. They surveyed men from ages 18 to 74, and the study aimed to investigate if there was any truth to the cliche that a man driving an expensive sports car is compensating for his male inadequacy.
I can see that.
What do you think they discovered? Before I tell you,
I think that there was definitely a link.
What you think, Doc?
I don't know.
He's like, I don't know, and I don't care.
What did they find out?
Apparently, there was.
I knew it.
So they made male participants believe that they had a relatively small or large penis by giving them false information about the average size of other men, right? Then they rated sports cars as more desirable if they felt they had a small, if they felt they had a small penis, they said. So that was kind of how they were orchestrating it. Other trials manipulated self-esteem in different ways and measured ratings for other luxury products like, it doesn't really show what the other examples are. But it said they tried other examples with other products and there wasn't really as much of a connection as there was with the cars. So I don't know. It says men past the age of 29, their penis size was correlated more to their desire to have, sports cars.
I can see that being true because I feel like some guys do try to overcompensate.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm not good at this, or I look like this, or I have this package. I'm going to go and get this car, So I can see that being true.
I mean, I definitely have seen it. I feel like with, I'm not going to call short people out, but people that aren't very,
Short man complex. Yeah.
Where you'll see somebody little pull up in the biggest truck you ever seen in your life. And you're like, what is going on here? And they could barely even jump in and out of that damn thing, climbing up onto the damn car. And that, I feel like, is an obvious case sometimes of, that. But do you think that, do you think there's other oral or other correlations like this, or do you think this is unethical in any way by, them trying to do this and find this connection, or is this something?
I think people overcompensate.
Yeah, you think
it has nothing to do with cars.
Yeah,
it has to do with feeling inadequate.
Insecurities.
And I think instead of impugning the people for feeling that way, let's impugn the world that created people that feel that way.
The cause.
We have a certain view of people. If they're short, or if they're dark, or if they're light,
or if they're driving a certain
if they
car.
Have a small penis, or or she's heavy, we do this to people.
Yeah.
And then we're surprised that they have dysfunctional outcomes and consequences.
Mm-hmm.
We overcompensate when we feel inadequate.
Yeah.
Why are we producing people who feel that way? when every human being brings to the table something that is truly unique and special, and instead of celebrating each other, we've been taught to critique, criticize, and condemn each other.
That's very true. And that's a problem I have. It's one of my biggest pet peeves, honestly.
What?
People doing that. When you got somebody that you know probably is sensitive to something that you're probably going to speak on about them, and it comes off as criticism instead of, you know, constructive criticism even at times, or praise, or celebrating the positive things about them, and people just focus on the negatives, that just bothers me because it's a lack of emotional intelligence in my eyes. We talked about this on another episode. People just don't care about how they make other people feel, you know, when they say things without thinking about how it might affect the person that they're saying it to. And, you know, I see a lot of situations where people focus on all of the negative things somebody, you know, may do when the positives that they do outweigh that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, why are we focused on, you know, even if it is just one negative thing, it doesn't even have to be a lot of things. It could be one thing that they feel is negative in their opinion. And the media does this, a lot of, you know, social media does this. It ends up being highlighted, the negative thing, as opposed to all of the good things that, you know, could come out of this same exact scenario or person. And that is one of my biggest pet peeves, because I look at those situations and I could clearly see, I'm always looking at the glass being half full. I'm always looking at the brighter side of things. So when I see this happen, I'm usually able to pick the positive out of it right away, but I'm looking at the story and I'm like, all they talking about is the negative.
Yeah, but that's the media.
Exactly, and that's why
they want to pull off the negative, you know?
And we talked about this before, because people want to see that. People want to see conflict. Yeah. People want to see how people react.
They like drama. Yeah,
chaos.
Well, listen, let's not impugn the media, because what you're saying is true. But that's how we are as people.
Exactly. It's the nature.
You know, human beings, at least in this culture, are constructed in such a way that we are much more animated by somebody falling down than we are about somebody helping somebody who fell down get up.
Agreed.
It's what we've become.
You're more likely to take your phone out and laugh at the guy who slipped than, oh, look, she helped him up.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Or to go over and help them up yourself.
That's not a moment exactly we want to capture.
Yeah.
You know, and so it goes back to what you're saying about the correlation between penises and cars. You know, it's just, if we lived in a world where people didn't have to overcompensate,
yeah,
then we might not have to talk about stories like this.
No, I agree.
But outside of that, I also feel like, you know, with those people who are doing things like that, feeling insecure about this and feeling like they have to get this big car to compensate for that, I feel like they need to do more self-work, you know, because those insecurities scream. Like, I've dated someone who had a lot of money and it's like, oh, I gotta talk about this, I gotta talk about that, and it's like, your insecurities are screaming. Like, who said anything about
any of that?
Of that, you know, like people who are I hate being around people who constantly brag or talk about what they have or this or that. It's like, I don't care. But it shows me how insecure you are and what you have going on. And I think that's something that people, it just shows like you need to keep doing self-work.
Yeah.
Because obviously you got some stuff you need to deal with.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up. Brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
So the Oscars are this weekend in LA. Mm-hmm. According to Local 12, the Oscars will have a crisis team this year.
Oh, wow.
After the incident with Will Smith and Chris Rock. And they have a whole crisis team, something they've never done before. They got a bunch of plans in place, they said. They've run many scenarios, so it's our hope that, you know, they'll be prepared for anything that they may not anticipate happening right now, but they're just planning just in case it does. Obviously, Will Smith is banned for the next 10 years. We found that out last year. So they're basically bracing themselves for somebody else acting crazy potentially on that stage. I don't know if y'all have seen Chris Rock's new special or not, but you know, Will ended up apologizing, saying he was out of line. Chris, you know, now is kind of getting his revenge, I feel like, toward going, doing his special or whatever. But, you know, he talks about selective outrage in his special. I haven't watched it yet, personally. Have y'all? No? See, I haven't watched it
yet. But I've heard about it.
I've heard a lot about it.
I've seen clips.
It's definitely been floating around. Yeah. And I'm wondering, what do you think about the state of this situation now as in terms of, one, what the Oscars are doing, but two, these two figures basically dueling it out through the media a year later after the incident, when this literally could have been spoken, like you said, in a healthy way and probably resolved behind closed doors. Do you think that the Oscars, you know, are doing too much? Do you think Will and Chris are doing too much? What do you think? I think we need to move past this, obviously. But the fact that we're still talking about this a year later, and now they're doing measures and running scenarios before the Oscar of potential people walking up and slapping each other. It's kind of crazy.
Let me say this. I don't care about the Oscars.
I know you
don't. As you know, I don't. If I got nominated for an Oscar, I wouldn't go.
Yes, you would.
No.
I would make you go. You're going.
No, I would not.
I'm picking it up on your behalf.
No, I wouldn't. No. I mean that. If I got nominated for an Emmy for this show, I'm not going to the Emmys.
Then I'll pick it up.
I don't like award shows. I don't like to watch them, so I could give two damns about them. Now, I don't mind if other people do. I'm not like poo-pooing them. I'm just speaking for me.
Yeah.
With respect to your question, I don't mind that Chris Rock has an opinion and he's voicing his opinion a year after the fact.
Okay.
I think he has the right. He was the one who was assaulted.
Yeah, it was inevitable.
If Will Smith can make a dumb video apologizing, which kind of wasn't an apology, then certainly Chris Rock has the right to sort of talk about it on his own terms.
Yeah.
The tragedy of it all is that these two black men were engaged in this in public. And if you really wanted to check him, then you check him when you can really check him. And at the Oscars is not, not the time for that.
Yeah. What do you think?
So as far as the Oscars bringing on a crisis team, I feel like they're doing a little bit too much. Like, come on now.
I'm wondering what they think could possibly happen.
I think that's a little too much. I also feel like I kind of agree with what you said as far as Chris Rock speaking on it on his own terms, you know, because you can't tell someone how to handle something or with something that they've dealt with.
Yeah.
It's his experience. It's his personal. He was embarrassed on national TV. And outside of that, he's a comedian and he uses comedy for as his outlet. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So if he wanted to speak about it 5 years from now, like, who cares? That was his personal experience.
It's his right.
He can.
It is his right.
But as far as like the Oscars with the car, like all of that, I don't think it's going to be another incident. I think they're doing
I hope
much.
People have learned from it.
Well, but we live in a reality TV world.
Yeah, exactly.
And that kind of foolishness that happens on reality TV
every day
has invaded in places that it should not.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't tell me that Will Smith smacking Chris Rock was not a reality TV moment.
It was definitely.
That's exactly what it was. That's what we see on all the Housewives and all Love and Hip. That's what we see. So that way of being in the world is a reality.
Yeah, it's emerging. Yeah.
So to kind of push back on your point, I can see how the Oscars could be doing too much. But maybe not.
Because you never know. They're moving and they don't want it to move any further in that direction.
Maybe not. Yeah. You know,
people. Well, who's hosting this year?
I can't remember. That's Tyler. A good question.
Yeah, that is a good
I feel like
question.
I do know the answer to this, though.
Tyler's going to find out for us.
Yeah, handy dandy Tyler. Handy
Jimmy dandy. Kimmel.
Wow.
Jimmy Kimmel's hosting. Really?
Oh, okay.
I don't think I knew that.
Okay.
That'll be interesting. Yeah. So I ain't no telling what you going to talk
about. I bet you ain't nobody going to slap a white
ain't
man.
Ain't nobody going to slap him, though.
I bet you that. I bet there could be nobody slapping
absolutely
a white dude
not
on the no. No.
But okay, but it is a time and place for everything, and that mm-hmm definitely wasn't the mm-hmm time or the no place.
I think it's a lack of maturity, because one of the things about maturity to me is being able to do the hard right thing, not mm-hmm the easy wrong thing. And a lot of times the right thing is having a mature conversation with somebody about how you really feel,
yeah,
with control of your emotions.
Yep.
And being able to come to a conclusion where both of you guys can walk away without destroying each other.
Yep.
You know?
Yes. But how about you smack the guy that slept with your wife?
No, but I'm saying if you need to slap him, sometimes people deserve to get
slapped. I'm not retorting. I'm simply saying direct
your own direction. I think he agreed to
but
that.
But that's
though
why he said he picked, Chris was saying that Will was showing a display of selective outrage.
Yeah.
It's like, you're taking it out on me.
Yeah.
Everybody in that audience knew Will was upset before the Oscars even started that day because he's been dealing with all kind of stuff in the media already. So I agree with you on that. Yeah. Aim that anger towards who it rightfully probably should be aimed at, not the comedians who are going to make jokes about it regardless of what's going on.
Yeah.
You
know?
Or, I'm going to say something that may not be fashionable.
Hmm.
Have the courage to leave your wife.
Or just leave.
Have the courage to say, I demand to be respected.
Yeah.
And I'm not willing to sit around here and let you do this to me.
But I think with that situation with, what did they call it? The
entanglement
and everything. I think that that's something that they agree to.
Yeah, probably.
You know, because we've been hearing for years that they've had an open marriage and this and that. So I think that was something that
the writing was on the wall already.
Yeah, but I think that once people really got whiff of like, oh, this is real, and everyone started attacking them and coming at them, and then outside of just that, it was just more things on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, like you said, Will just kind of
I think he reached his breaking point.
Yeah,
and
he
it just
reached,
did not.
Yeah,
come
no,
out.
No, no.
Did it end well?
I think he did exactly what the story is suggesting. He overcompensated.
Yeah, because he felt like he had to.
He did an eye
for sure.
He did an eye for an eyelash.
Yeah, for an eyelash. For
he
sure
thought he was in Philly still.
Man, but it,
no, because he wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, Philly. I was gonna say it's one
somebody
would have
knocked him out.
I Philly think he did what he felt the world wanted him to do or expected him, you know, to have to do, and that's not at all his character or who he is as a person. You know, he got caught up in the world of people telling him, if that was me, couldn't have been me. Oh, you ain't tough if you don't do this.
Yep.
Or you're this if you don't do that. And it's like, who cares what they thinking about? First of all, it's your marriage, you know? But his life is on full display and he's in the spotlight, you know, all of his life, and it's one of them things where I don't know what it's like being in that position, but I don't think it was handled well. I think one of the themes of this show so far on this episode has definitely been, you know, just people having healthy outlooks on the things that so many people look at as negative. And I just want to hear y'all closing thoughts on some of the stuff that I feel like we would want to leave our audience with after hearing some of these stories we talked about today.
Well, for my closing remarks, I would just have to say, you know, just moving in love and with intention, you know, just being very intentional about the things you do, the people you allow in your life, and also just practicing love.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I want to leave with.
Love. We always cool with love. We always cool with that over here. What up, Doc?
Well, listen, I think that what I got from all of this is that you'd be surprised at what will save you. And life has more than one way to save you. So just because something doesn't work out and you find yourself stuck on a boat in the middle of the ocean, doesn't mean you won't walk away. Mm-hmm. You won't if you give up. Yeah. You will if you find yourself some ketchup and some garlic
and
powder.
Some garlic powder.
And you look at the garlic powder and tell it, you're going to make me live.
Yeah.
Not because that's what you're supposed to do, but because I refuse to die.
Yeah.
And that is everything.
Everything. Everything.
All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. We will see you next time. I'm McMillan and Mark. Courtney, thank you for being here.
Yes, give
no
it up
problem.
For our guest, Courtney, one more time
thank
before
so
we get out of here.
Thank you so much for having me. And guys, please follow me on social media at Courtney Elise.
Follow
check out
Courtney.
She got going on. She got music. She got comedy. She got anything you need. So tap in. Until next time, y'all.
The content on McMillan and Morrow is provided as commentary on news and current events for entertainment purposes.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.